In the world today, millions of people have never heard of Jesus Christ. They've never encountered the life-changing power of the Bible. They've never walked into a church. Some have never even met a Christian. Though the work has been underway for more than 2,000 years, there are still individuals, villages, and even whole language groups that have never received the good news, and they've never experienced the blessings that it brings to their communities, their families, and their nations. They live and die without hope, without God, without peace. But now, in this generation, we have come to the end, when every human being on earth must hear of Jesus' name. People from every tribe and nation are welcomed into the kingdom of God. Our global work toward this goal is not finished. The great commission that Jesus gave his disciples, we are nearer to completing that mission today than at any time in history. He said that we must go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that he commanded. He promised to be with us always, even to the end of the age. You and I have the opportunity to join this vision and to be part of what God is doing in hearts across the world. In looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, we must take seriously his command to share the good news with every person everywhere. We can be a part of the greatest movement of God's Spirit in history. And God is moving. He is changing lives. He is setting captives free. He is transforming families. He is renewing and reviving churches. New churches are being planted across the world today. He is sending forth his word to the very ends of the earth. The harvest, Jesus said, is plentiful. And the workers, well, he is raising new workers up every day to go forth. In America, in Asia, everywhere. All that remains now is for us to join what God is doing. To obey his call. To finish the great work. Millions are waiting. Welcome to Great Commission Radio with India Gospel League. I'm your host, Dan Jarvis. Well, I have today with me Danny Stevens, who is the son of Sam Stevens, the president of India Gospel League, and Danny has taken a variety of leadership roles in training young people for sharing the good news and ultimately discipling children in the ways of the Lord. And so I wanted to ask him a few questions today. Thank you, Danny, for coming and being a part of our show today. Maybe we could begin with your own story of what it was like to grow up in the Stevens family and how you developed a burden then to be involved in training young people with the gospel.
Well, as I grew up with the Stevens family, and as you know, that the Stevens family is with the missions for many generations, and I am the fifth generation. And growing up with my dad and growing up with the ministry, it really gave me a burden. Follow the footsteps of my father. And as I grew up, it was in this huge conference that is where when I gave my life to Jesus and I said, I want to serve you till the very end of my life. I finished college in 2006, and when I graduated, the Lord specifically spoke to me and said that this is the way that I want you to work, and that is with the young people. He gave me passages about young serving with the young people. And it was so astonishing when I came and joined the organization with my dad. The very first words he told me is that you are going to work with the young people. So I was very excited. It really burdened me a lot to encourage these young people in the local church, to train them, to equip them, and to work alongside with the local pastor.
So, Danny, what would an average day in your life be like then? You wake up, do you work at the India Gospel League Salem office, or are you traveling typically?
My work at the India Gospel League is from Monday to Thursday. Usually on Fridays and Saturdays, we as a team, we have about five people at the head office. We go out and train young people in the local churches. When I say train, we go out and train the young people in the existing churches. One of the things that the Vision 2000, the IGL, does is to train and equip believers in the local church. And that is what we as a team at the head office do, to train the young people in the local church. to be assisting to the local pastor, to be helpful in church planting, as well as to be a bridge between the church and the community.
One of the things that ever since I got involved in IGL, I've been impressed with and excited by is there is no lack of vision, and there are great goals to be accomplished for God's kingdom. And one of those is to disciple 500,000 children. Just to let that sink in for a moment, to take on the task of really trying to get more than just an initial presentation of the gospel to 500,000 children, but really to disciple them to walk with Christ, that is an amazing objective. And it would almost, on paper, seem to be unrealistic until you actually get to know India Gospel League and realize that God has moved in such amazing ways to make this possible. I know that you're involved in training those who would lead and who would teach and ultimately would result in those 500,000 children being trained. And so how does that process work? What does the hierarchy look like? And what kind of people are you working with day to day yourself to then ultimately drive toward that goal?
Well, in the year 1998, my dad had a vision of starting the movement called Y21, Youth for the 21st Century, Mobilizing Youth for the 21st Century. It was a goal started with about training about 10,000 young people. And right now we have about 50,000 young people enrolled in the Y21 movement. There was a goal which was started in 1998. And we have a goal of discipling about 150,000 young people by the end of 2020. When we train them in the local church, these young people are the ones who disciple the children. As you said, our goal for last year was to disciple 500,000 children. So these young people are the ones who disciple the 500,000 children. And our goal for the next year is 600,000 children. So at the same time, we have to increase our potential within the young people in order to train the 600,000 children. So our goal is to disciple 150,000 young people in order to disciple 600,000 children in the village.
Okay, so give me maybe an example of the average young person you're looking for that you're talking about. How old are they and where do you find them?
These young people are mainly from the villages. We focus on villages where we believe that 80% of India's population live in villages. And we consider young people from the age group of 18 to 25. And this is the age group that we focus. Below the age group of 16, we consider them as children.
So you're looking for 150,000 18 through 25-year-olds.
Yes.
To then train and bring discipleship to 600,000 children who would be below the age of 16.
Yes.
So today, where do you stand toward that goal?
Currently, we have, by God's grace, we have discipled about 50,000 young people. We have enrolled them into the Y21 movement. We have their address list. We have a day-to-day.
What does their training look like? How are they trained? Is it at a conference or through materials?
We have all different kinds of training. We have a national conference bringing all these young people once a year to train them, equip them, just to challenge them and to make them understand that they have the potential of evangelism in the place where they are. But more of our unique training is our regional trainings, where we gather them, split them into small groups, and make them, mentor them, kind of give them training and equip them for their own local church. So these are vital trainings that we take them very seriously and make them understand the potential in order to plant the church.
If someone out there was saying, you know, I'd like to help you, Danny, I'd like to help that work go forward, what are some of the ways that an individual could get involved?
Definitely, first of all, through prayer. Prayer is more important. We believe in India Gospel that our wheels are the prayers, and definitely we need friends who pray for us. And of course, financial help will really support us in training these young people, because we believe that India is still a young country, and without your support, without your prayer, and without your financial support, it would be a little difficult. Yes, of course, training of these young people, of these new disciples, are very vital at this hour. these new believers who come into the church, it is important that they get nourished more, and it costs a lot. So definitely your financial support and your prayers are very much needed.
So specifically, if we wanted to help, so we know that there's this goal of 150,000 young people being trained. To train one of them, what would it cost?
It would approximately cost about $50 per training. It covers the food, the accommodation, the teaching material, the manuals, and all these things for 2 days. When we say training, we gather them for 2 days, and it approximately costs about $50 to $60.
So then after they've been trained in that two-day conference, at that point they're then resourced to go forward and start to train others, or does their training kind of continue? What does the process look like after a conference is completed?
They go in turn and train many young people in their local church, and that is what we expect them to do, to go into their local church, to go into their village, to start what they have learned. And of course, they get themselves more equipped in teaching others as well. And we also gather them back again to give them second-line leadership training and to develop their skills more.
So as you go into villages or as you look to recruit people to be trained, how is that process going?
Well, it is very important that we raise leaders at this hour. Like Joshua, like David, and many young leaders who rose in the Bible. I truly believe that this is the time that the leaders from the local church should rise for their own people, for their own church. We go with this statement saying that young people are today's leaders, and until and unless today's leaders raise up, we don't find any difference in India. So with that in mind, we raise today's leaders to do today's work, which God wants them to do. So it is the need of the hour to raise more leaders, to raise more Joshuas, to raise more Davids, to lead the church, to lead the country, because we believe that the potential that the young people have, and if we lead them in the right way, I truly believe that God will be able to lead these young people in the right direction. And at the same time, raising tomorrow's leaders, those are the children. And when we develop the present-day leaders, in turn, ultimately, tomorrow's leaders ultimately will be raised for Christ.
Okay, Danny, one thing I picked up on that you just said was that you're looking at these young people as today's leaders, and then you're looking at the children as tomorrow's leaders. So tell me a little bit about that line of thinking and why you would say it that way.
As I said, that young people are today's leaders. If we give them the seed, if we sow the right seed into their hearts, I truly believe that they will rise up to lead the nation, to lead their lives, to lead their own church in the way Christ wants them to lead. And if we also lead them in the proper way, I truly believe that they have the potential to lead tomorrow's leaders, and that is the children, raising tomorrow's leaders today. If we do the right thing today in order to raise the tomorrow's leaders, I truly believe that India will have a higher percentage in the near future of Christians, and a lot of churches being birthed, or a lot of churches being raised up through tomorrow's leaders.
What do you suppose the main challenges that these young people are facing as they go out now they're equipped? They're ready to start sharing and training, sharing the gospel, training others to share the gospel. What kind of struggles do they face?
One of the struggles for the young people today is the recognition that they do not get. Is they long for recognition. They long for people who put their hand on their shoulder and say, "You can do it." And that is what the Y21 movement is doing. And they go out with a zeal of serving the Lord more fervently, and before they come for this training or before they're enrolled into this movement, they think very low of themselves. They think that they cannot do what they can do. But when they come for this training with the Y21, they understand the potential that the Lord has given to them, and through that potential, they are able to equip themselves and to equip other people as well.
Well, I wonder if before we close our broadcast today, if you would be willing to lead us in prayer for the Y21 movement and the many leaders who are in training. So could you pray for us, Danny?
Sure. Oh, Lord, gracious Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you, Lord, for this beautiful time that you had given to us. We thank you so much for the great movement that you have given to us and equip young leaders in India and in Sri Lanka. Lord, we pray that you will speak to them. I pray that you will equip them more so that many young people and many children will be transformed. We thank you once again for this beautiful time that you've given to us. Through Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. It could be that as you hear Great Commission Radio with India Gospel League, and as we discuss India and its culture and climate and economics and religions, that questions come to your mind. Perhaps you wonder about something regarding our philosophy or the theology of how missions is accomplished, and you'd like to interact about that. We would love to answer your questions either on the air or in person. And to start that process, if you have a question, you can go to iglworld.org and simply click on radio. You'll see a list of previous broadcasts that you can download onto your media device to listen to. And you'll also have there access to our contact information through which you can ask questions that we can answer on future Great Commission Radio broadcasts. So I would encourage you, if you've never visited our site before, to go to www.iglworld.org or simply to call our office and ask for a free information pack. And that number is 330-650-5900. 650-5900. I'd like to welcome to the studio Andy Schuffs, who is not only on staff at India Gospel League's North American office, but she also recently traveled to India and served there. And so today I'd like to hear a little bit from Andy. Welcome. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And I'd like to hear from you. First of all, maybe we could talk about what you do at the India Gospel League office and kind of get that out of the way, because I think the more exciting thing to say probably is what you experienced in India. But you serve here as an executive assistant, and you make travel plans for the various people we have going to India and crisscrossing the country talking about India. Tell us a little, what's your average day like at the office in Hudson, Ohio?
There really is no average day. We work for a nonprofit, and so we wear multiple hats. But I would say the majority of my job is coordinating short-term mission trips from America to India and back, making sure we don't accidentally leave anybody in India.
That's probably good.
Yes.
Although I've been to India on one of those trips, and I wouldn't mind having been left there a little bit longer. How many trips do you coordinate each year?
Last year we had a total of 28. This year will probably be about the same.
So. And how many people would be on an average team?
Anywhere from 2 to 12
okay.
people, about.
I'll just do the 20 questions here. How much does it cost to go to India?
It really depends on airfare. I would estimate somewhere between $2,200 and $3,000 to go to India and spend time there.
Okay. What kind of people are you looking for to go on one of your teams?
I'm glad you asked. We are looking for anyone who really is interested in missions and who's interested in India. We have a need for pastors to come and train our men leaders. We have a need for women who can teach the Bible that want to come and see the mission. We also have a need for college students, interns, to come and spend anywhere from 1 to 3 months serving at the mission base. And those interns, we have them do pretty much everything, so they get a very wide scope of what it is that IGL does. Medical teams are in demand. I wish we could have more doctors who are interested in putting together a team of nurses and surgeons, dentists. We send people all the time that just want to go visit, see what IGL is doing there, sort of catch the vision of what God is doing through IGL in India.
So when you went to India recently yourself, was that your first trip?
It was. Okay. It was my first trip anywhere other than Canada.
Wow. Okay. Yes. So a little bit different than what you're used to.
Yeah.
Did you land in South India? That's where a lot of times the trips start.
We landed in Bangalore.
Okay.
Yes.
So tell me what it felt like from that moment forward. What were your impressions of the country?
Everything in India is different than here, from the traffic, which I don't even know if you can use the word traffic to describe what it's like, just cars on top of motorcycles and families on motorcycles, to the smell in the air, lots of curry, garbage, it smells like garbage, and buildings, even the animals were different. So never in my life have I felt more foreign. It's also very hot and humid. It's very tropical in South India. Those were my first impressions. Chaotic, lots of people, and very, very different.
Okay, well, so into that very different environment, you get off the plane and you're now on a mission. You want to try to help the people in India who are already committed to Christ and they're already sharing the gospel, and they have systems in place to care for orphans and needy children. They have systems in place to train Bible teachers and nurses and people that are going to go out into the villages and share Christ. How were you contributing to all of that? What was your role on the team?
I went with a group of women from my area, from the Hudson area, and with a coworker. And we had been training for several months to teach at women's leaders conferences. So we were assigned teachings from a yearly theme that IGL puts together. I had two Bible passages to teach, come up with a burden and what I wanted to communicate to these women. And so we had three conferences. Two of them were one day, and the other one was 3 days. In the conferences, we taught the Bible, and the whole purpose was for these women to come and learn, obviously, what we were teaching, but then to take our notes back. Everyone got a packet with our teaching outlines, and they can take those outlines back to their villages and then teach their disciples and their women from those notes. So they would have them. They could put together their own teachings and then pass that along to other women who would then pass that along to their disciples.
As you look at kind of the average woman who is at one of those conferences, what do you think her life is like?
I think her life is very difficult in many ways. First of all, I don't think women have the same rights as we do here, and so they aren't viewed as being worth much, which contributes to every aspect of what makes their life difficult. They have children to support, typically a husband that works constantly for hopefully enough money to feed them that day. On top of that, if they are believers, just normal persecution from the fellow villagers that don't agree with what they're doing and what they're preaching. So I think a typical day is long and hard and hot.
Beyond going and maybe participating in training, they can also be a financial partner and fund the ministry of one of these women. How much does it cost monthly to be a partner?
$75 a month. And that would enable her to full-time do her ministry, raise her children, have discipleship materials, have people in her home. So it'd be $75 a month to sponsor a woman. For a barefoot pastor, who typically a lot of these women leaders are married to pastors, it's $100 a month, and that means that he can quit his job and devote his entire life to the ministry, and that supports them, supports their housing, their food, and their children's education, as well as his transportation needs and all of that other good stuff that comes along with it.
So as you think of the women that you met and their struggles and their day-to-day life and their heartbeat for the gospel, how can we best pray for them?
I've been praying since I've been back, and I had the opportunity to meet a lot of women who asked for specific prayer. Biggest need that I noticed as like a common theme running through all their prayer requests was that God would enable them to either open doors or have them live long enough to reach more souls for him.
If there were women listening today who said, I believe in that vision and I want to jump in, the place that they could start is at our IGL website. That's iglworld.org.
Yes, the website is very important. There's tons of information on there. And it goes over our four pillars of ministry, and it outlines pretty much everything that we're doing.
This program has been furnished by the India Gospel League of Salem, India, and Hudson, Ohio. To learn more about our work and to join in the vision, go to iglworld.com.